NATO of 42 members. This is very important. We are currently 30 members in NATO, and it's very important that we enlarge NATO now in a reasonable timeline. That means, first of all, Bosnia and Herzegovina is ready for NATO membership. That should be the test case for the new presidency of Joe Biden, who is, in many cases, the most pro-European president we ever had. And so it's very important to have him now and the Europeans to support this with additional measures to have Bosnia in NATO as the first key deliverable now in the new administration. It is basically 60% of the population are in favor. Of course, you know, it needs to be accompanied by a European package. And here the new cooperation between the EU and the US and also the UK and Canada must be already very much showing a concrete result. What we can do as a European Union to support this, this is obviously to open the labor market for the Bosnians, invest in the highway infrastructure, and also allow Bosnia to adopt the euro. And that's quite an irresistible package also for the Bosnian Serb voters, where there is a lot of resistance, especially in the nationalistic circles, against NATO membership. But with such a package, I think nobody will, very few will be resisting it. And it's totally possible because the Bosnian mark is already pegged since the beginning to the euro, and we have done the same for Kosovo and for Montenegro already. They use the euro as only currency already. So the euro is totally possible for Bosnia, and it's also not a risk for anybody. It's actually in our common currency, so absolutely possible. And that's the euro on the one hand. And here comes then, of course, the labor market. And that's, I think, not a big problem because we have already quite a lot of Bosnians in Austria and in Germany especially. And it makes no big difference if we have some more or some less, yeah? And it is a big difference, obviously, for Bosnia. And it shows also our commitment to Bosnia because it should also be at the same time a EU candidate country, from potential candidate to EU candidate. And so we have Bosnia basically as the test case if we are really for transatlantic partnership, really for the Balkans. And we got now North Macedonia already, Montenegro, there was real progress. Albania is already long in the in NATO, 12 years now soon, since 2009. So we have already very big progress. So Bosnia. And then you will ask me, what is the other 11 countries, what I'm talking about? It's quite easy. We have obviously then Kosovo, we have Serbia, then we have Ukraine, we have Georgia, and we have Moldova. And that's all together six, Bosnia first, so then that's five plus. And then we have six EU neutrals, which are, for some reason, historically, not in NATO at the same time. But given our mutual defense obligation and our assistance obligation in EU and in NATO, it's totally ridiculous that Austria is not in NATO, Malta is not in NATO, Cyprus anyhow wants to be in NATO. But here the Turkish issue has been a major stumbling block. Ireland, Sweden, Finland, these are the countries. So I call on the authorities and on the people in Sweden, in Finland, in Ireland, in Malta, in Cyprus, in Austria to join NATO together in 2024. And together then this is also very good because obviously there's resistance in Russia in that one. So in order to not have the whole anger and anger tantrum of Putin against a certain state like Finland, for example, or others, it's much better to do that united and to do what we have done already in the year 2024, what we have done in 2004. That means a big bang enlargement of up to 12 countries. Okay, if Ireland really wants not to join, for they have this minority complex and inferiority complex towards the British. We have been very solidarity showing, yes, very solidarity during Brexit. They are less, no good. Then we have another 5 years for 2029. But ultimately, every single EU country should also be a NATO member. So our coordination problem is then much less between NATO and EU. So that's really very important, and that is really the future. So we have then the six EU neutrals. And of course, Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia, they are all led by countries which are tweeting every single day that they want to join NATO and we and the EU, and we are like ignoring it or trying to, and it's not happening. But, you know, that's really what these nations want, what they really want, what their leaders want and their people want. That's the security for the nations. How come we, as now living rich and happily in Austria and in Germany and in Central Europe, reject this and somehow say it's not happening? And that's really, for me, outrageous in any respect. Yeah? And so for this and for many reasons, I started also this activity to really promote very much the Austrian NATO membership. Because, you know, when you're so lucky, countries so rich in the center of Europe, and then you have other countries which are not so fortunate with their strategic situation, and then you say, ah, yes, we in Austria, we have a peace, and it's so important, yeah. And then you really block other people and their progress and their security. That's really very mean. So, Austria, I call on the Austrians, join NATO. This is the future. This is the reality. This is the past. It has never been neutrality which kept your Austria safe, neither in the Finnish case, nor in the Austrian case, nor in the Swedish case. It was always NATO since the foundation in 49, and we should really start to tell this to the people, communicate that very clearly, and also never to be abused as a role model for people in Serbia or in Ukraine who somehow argue the Russian narrative and all this, you don't have to join NATO because it's the Austrians are also not in NATO. No, that's totally wrong. We had the opportunity in 89, we had the opportunity again in 99. For various reasons, we never did it, and this is totally wrong. So let me sum up. It's very clear. We have in this opportunity now again with a pro-European president. You know, about Trump and the history of Trump, I will speak in a separate episode, but let me, he was very anti-European, and not only anti-European, but pro-Russian. He, but nevertheless, you know, at least also under his presidency, there was progress for North Macedonia, also Montenegro, even when he treated the Prime Minister of Montenegro very shabbily in 2017. But, you know, America is the superpower, even in the Pax Europiana time. We will also be very closely cooperating, and this is very important to have unity of the West, but institutional solutions and settlements, which are this European aspect, basically that we build up the institutions which made us rich and successful and which have helped in the post-war settlement so much for security and for prosperity. And this should be also open for the Ukrainians, of course, only in free Ukraine, for the Georgians, obviously only in free Georgia. We cannot secure the regions which are currently occupied by the Russian Federation, neither in Georgia, nor in Ukraine, nor in Moldova. That's very unfortunate. Yeah, I really very much care for the human rights of the Crimean Tatars and of the for everybody in Crimea, and also for the occupied regions in Georgia and in Moldova. But we have done it in the case of Algeria and in the case of Western Germany, and the NATO membership and also EU membership is only open for the free parts of these countries. So what does it mean in the number? And this is, I think, the most important thing I want to communicate. We have in the year 2024, now 4 years until the next parliament election in Europe, and until the next presidential election in the United States of America, we have 4 years where we can include all these 12 countries in NATO. And there is no Russia having a veto on who joins NATO or not. There is no China having a veto, and no Iran or not nobody. It's us who has to do this. The countries are ready. They are all working on it. To a lesser extent, obviously, Serbia, but we should offer this to Serbia very loud, to the Serbian population, that we are ready, we want this, and also to tell everybody that NATO membership is a condition for EU membership. There will be no way Serbia can join the European Union without prior NATO membership. This has to be very clearly communicated, and then it will also have the required effect. Because NATO is a force for good, for peace, for security, and this is an obligation to join the European Union. We did some exemptions in the past, but certainly not for a four-time aggressor state like Serbia. That's certainly not happening. And there must be this debate, and it must be very loud. I'm already having that on YouTube, and I had a lot of negative from many of my friends in Serbia, but I repeat it very clearly. There will be no country in the European Union ever again which is not prior to NATO, and there is a very clear reason for it, because the EU is not a defense alliance. We are not a military organization. We don't have the tools to really screen and assist preparations and in the reforms of an ex-communist country into a Western democracy in the field of intelligence, in the field of military. This has to be done by NATO. There is the capacities. And by the way, I repeat again, it's 93% of all EU citizens are NATO ally member states. Yeah. So it's not that this is any difference. Yeah. Germany is a NATO member and a EU member. So if you want to be an ally in the EU, obviously, first do your job, your homework, join NATO. And we are not any kind of sovereign Europe different from America in that sense. We are one pillar of the Western world. We have the same values. We have the same values of freedom, democracy, human rights. Of course, we have the same enemies as well. We have the same internal fragilities, which we have seen now in America very much. We have them in Europe. And let me also close that the good thing about what happened last week now in Washington is that it was not successful. So we have in Europe many, many cases in our history where this kind of populist violent mobs have really stormed the governments. And we have no reason to gloat or to be in anything like Schadenfreude or whatever you call it, that we somehow feel much more superior. This was a dangerous threat for the democracy of the whole world. And we have to work together very closely to contain these dangers internally and externally. And one way to do it is to secure the fragile Eastern Europeans inside NATO and also to show more unity by the rich neutrals who are already in the EU to join NATO as well. Of course, you know, there's a debate in Sweden and Finland and Ireland, you know, everywhere, and it's always complicated, and we all have our historic, unique kind of paths in our history, from the Cold War, from the World War II, from the Irish independence, and from Napoleon's times, and so, yes, that's all very important for history, and it's all very important for national identity, but it doesn't hinder that we secure ourselves together, united in Europe. This is a very clear message. Then towards the Russians, it's very clear to the Chinese, and it's very clear to our American partners that we are very, very committed towards our common transatlantic future, and that we really are able to improve something together. And so I call on what I call hashtag NATO42. There might be other countries in the future as well to join, but I think for the foreseeable future, for this decade, hopefully for 2024, this is the number we should reach, and we will reach it as well. I'm confident for that. Yeah. But, you know, it needs American leadership, which very clearly goes out and says, you are invited, we want you to join. It needs a Germany and France, which are also united in this perspective, and not running to Moscow or doing separate energy deals. That's why I'm so much against this Nord Stream 2 project, in order to also signal from the German side that they are not ready to sell out the Eastern Europeans for good business, but there is solidarity from Germany and also the French to not just to fly to Moscow and make deals there, but to really work with our partners in Central and Eastern Europe, who all really, there is no question that Ukraine wants to be in NATO, Georgia, there is no question they absolutely want, and also for Moldova under the new president now. And so these are the three most important countries. And in order to have this all done in a compounded and reasonable way, it's important for the EU neutrals to also have this debate and also to secure the Mediterranean better and also to solve the situations about Ireland and in the Mediterranean. So it's a lot of debates at the same time. but I think we can do it. We have done it in 2004 and it worked very well. And it's also the way forward now. If it will take 3-4 years more until 2029, but I'm confident, and this is the way forward, we will be NATO 42, best in 24. If it takes until 29, good. But now we have a window of opportunity. We have a pro-European president in America, the most pro-European president since Ronald Reagan, who really cares for Europe, who knows better the European problems than most European leaders know, the Bosnian situation, the Kosovo situation, the Ukraine situation. He was the vice president of America in these decisive years, and he was for, I think, since 72 in the US Senate times the frame. Many of our current European leaders have not even been alive. So situation is like this. We have an opportunity. We can take this opportunity or we can fail. Yeah? If we want to fail this opportunity, good. Okay, not good. We will win in this battle. We will win this debate and it's possible to do it. Yeah, there is no reason for Finland to stay neutral. There is no reason to for Austria to stay neutral. If you look at it, it's all historic ballast which we have to overcome. And I will discuss also in this podcast every single argument why Austria became neutral in the year 95, why Germany decided to choose the Western option, and why this has won us the Cold War, and why this is really such an important geostrategic situation that we have to make sure that Ukraine is smooth into the NATO now, and also this blazes the way for membership in the European Union, which will be my next podcast, why we need to be EU 37 in the next item. I will discuss about that one. Thanks a lot for your attention.